Many of us have had or have a loving pet. If that pet so happens to be a dog, you may have experienced the fact that some dogs have an adventuresome spirit or can be spoofed or frightened, causing them to take off and get lost. Regardless, for one reason or another, that beloved pet may run away and seemingly get lost. We may go to all lengths to try to find it, for after all, it has become a part of the family. Now, I know this sounds very familiar to the Hawkins family. When Moo, their beloved dog, ran away and was lost this past June, we all experienced that on Facebook along with the Hawkins. And they went to the ends of the earth until they finally found Moo. And there was rejoicing. And I am well aware of such searches, since my last dog, Duffy, had a free spirit and would exercise that spirit whenever he could. When I think of my adventures with Duffy and the Hawkins family adventure with Moo, I become keenly understanding of Jesus' parable of the lost sheep. Especially like Duffy, sheep seem to have a mind of their own. They strike out into territories unknown, following trails of greener pastures. This was particularly dangerous in Judea, for the pastures were very scarce and full of dangers. In addition to sharp cliffs and rocky ravines, which a sheep could be entrapped or fall into, there were the wild animals who would prey upon the lost sheep and devour it, or human thieves who would steal them. The shepherd was held accountable for any lost sheep during his or her watch and would jeopardize their future ability to be employed. Being a vital part of the economy, each sheep was highly prized for not only their meat, but also for their valued wool. Therefore, when one sheep was lost, one of the shepherds watching over the flock would go out in a relentless search for it. They had to account for all their sheep, even if they could only find pieces of evidence of the lost sheep that may have met its demise by a wild predator. The shepherd would on more than one occasion risk his or her life in order to save just one sheep who had wandered away and become lost. I know the feeling, since there were times that I would spend hours searching for Duffy, fearing that he may be at risk in the city streets. Throughout the search, I would experience mixed emotions of fear for Duffy and anger that he had run away, making me take up my time to search for him. But everything changed when I found him. I felt relieved. And after lecturing him, which of course he understood very little, except that I was upset with him, I then had to pet him and celebrate the fact that I have found him safe and sound. I don't know whether the shepherd, upon finding his lost sheep, lectured it or not, like I tried to do with Duffy, but he certainly celebrated finding it safe and sound. Jesus' parable emphatically relates this. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." The parable relates the reality that whatever is lost does not have the ability to be found without some kind of external intervention. This is the nature of being lost. Jesus emphasizes this in giving a second parable about a woman who lost a silver coin, which was extremely valuable to her. The lost coin could not be found without an external intervention, and in this case, the woman doing an extensive search for it. Again, since this coin was so valuable to her, she celebrated when she found it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." What was the occasion which brought Jesus to tell these two parables? Well, the scribes and Pharisees had just accused Jesus of associating and eating with sinners. With sinners. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. By this they meant people who do not feel obligated to follow the multitude of laws in the Pharisaic tradition. These laws were so extensive and so intricate that it would be impossible to follow them to the letter. This was especially true since they would be interpreted as the scribes and Pharisees saw fit to interpret them. You couldn't win for losing, and only elevated these religious leaders above and beyond everybody else, for they had all the answers. Those who chose not to follow these absurd demands were called by the Pharisees the people of the land. The Pharisaic regulations set a barrier between them and the people in the land. It said, when a man is one of the people of the land, entrust no money to him, take no testimony from him, trust him with no secret. Do not appoint him guardian of an orphan. Do not make him the custodian of charitable funds. Do not accompany him on a journey. Now, this was just shy of the act of total shunning. Since many of these people of the land were wealthy and influential business people, the Pharisees saw they could not afford to make them total outcasts, so they would have a little wiggle room. In many ways, the Pharisees could have labeled Jesus as a people of the land. From time to time, he chose to ignore the Pharisaic laws. For he healed on the Sabbath, talked with the Samaritan woman, plucked a grain of wheat on the Sabbath, ate with tax collectors, and so on. Now he was teaching the tax collectors and sinners, the people of the land. He was associating with those who the Pharisees had given up as lost, never being able to receive God's salvation. They were not even worthy to try to teach. But Jesus refuted any such notion. Just like the shepherd does not give up on any sheep that is lost, or the women searching out the lost coin, God not only seeks out the lost, but rejoices in finding them and brings them back to be loved and treasured. To think that God would go to such length to save the lost few in the face of these pious leaders who saw themselves righteous in the eyes of God. But Jesus was saying that God was not just for the self-chosen few, but for everybody, for everybody. And his love was so great that he would go to any length to find and save them. Paul put it this way in the Romans: "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We all fall short of the glory of God. We all are sinners, even those who claim to be sinless. The good news is that we are not lost, for God actively seeks us out through his overloving realm, his love, his grace. This is why he sent Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. He came seeking out, revealing God's love and forgiveness for us. But just as the shepherd was known to lay down his life to protect his sheep, so did Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I lay down my life for the sheep. This morning, Riley has become a child of God's loving care. Like a sheep of his fold, like us, Riley may wander off at times only to experience God's forgiveness by bringing him back into his loving care and the fellowship of the body of Christ. Riley is within God's care, and will always know the extent which God will go to keep him in his fold of believers. As fellow members of this fold, we have the responsibility to not only nurture Riley in this life in Christ, but to be there for him when he may go astray. Yes, today, we celebrate the baptism of Riley, and we renew our own commitment to help him grow in his experience in the life of Christ. But we must also continually search out those who may be lost and never had the experience of the body of Christ. We often forget that. We must remember these words of Jesus. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. To celebrate a baptism is not only for the present, but for the future of each individual, sharing his or her life together in the body of Christ, and then reaching out to those who may be lost. Sometimes we forget about that in the church. You know, that is when baptism comes alive. When we share our lives together and then reach out to those who may be lost. That is when baptism comes alive. Amen.